Hello, I'm Aoife. You're listening to You Got Kids. And in the other seat today, we don't have any Anya. We have a guru. This is Monica O'Connor. She's our homeschooling guru. And you're very welcome to Gripped Media Show.
Thanks so much, Aoife. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. I'm really excited and
great
looking
to see
forward
you and Cuiva.
We have another little guest, my little bambino, who is refusing to leave my lap. So she's joining in the conversation today.
She's
as
in
well.
The right place.
She is, yeah, right in her mammy's lap. So, Monica, we really want to get into the nitty gritty of this whole homeschooling journey that you've almost come to the end of. Well, I don't know. Do you ever come to an end of a home education journey?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
isn't a graduation ceremony as such, but the children move on and do their own thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you've a right little gang of children now.
I do, Aoife. I have six. So at the moment, my youngest, who the only one really you could say is in home education actively, is Eamon, and he's 11. And Elva is 16, and she's just gone into college to do a FETAC 5. So Elva has been at home from birth to the age of 16. And then Oren is 19. So he was the same as Elva, stayed at home, no primary, no secondary, no junior cert, no leaving cert, went to do a FETAC 5, aged 16, took a year off then and is in second year in Cork School of Music, and he plays trombone. And then the next guy up is Emmett, and he is 24 now. And again, he was completely home educated and focused on music. Although when he was smaller, I have to say that his things were Lego and painting those tiny little figures from, it's not like Warhammer, his were Lord of the Rings, little tiny little Lord of the Rings figures. He spent years painting those, playing soccer and playing piano. And now he is making his living playing piano. And then next guy up, Oisin, is almost 26. A week off his 26th birthday, and he plays guitar and works in a coffee shop. He did do some secondary schooling, almost 3 years, and he did a leaving cert. But again, no primary and no junior cert. And then the eldest guy, Dara, is almost 33. And he did 4 years of secondary school, but again, no primary and no junior cert. Did a leaving cert and did a couple of years in the hospitality training in Cork and headed off to Hawaii, where he worked in the bar of a golf club for 10 years and said that Maui was paradise on earth. So that's the gang. They're between 11 and 32. So I was 19 having my first and 40 having my last. So there's 21 years of a span. Yeah.
So you're fairly experienced in home education. And what brought you to that decision, yourself and Eddie?
I was incredibly lucky. With my first child, I wasn't married or in a relationship. And Dara's dad is in America. And he basically, I was really, really lucky to meet a family, an English family who lived in Urlingford in Kilkenny, and they were home educating their kids. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's possible. That was my first question, was the first question I get from a lot of people. Is it legal? And they educated me, this English family educated me on Bunorc na hÉireann, the Irish constitution, which says that parents are primary educators. So I looked into it. Dara was only 9 months old. At the time, I was doing a course by correspondence because I kind of figured four was very young to go to school, and maybe I'd send him when he was five and I'd go to work and he'd go to school. And when I met this family and saw how home education worked, I just thought, that's fantastic. Sure, nobody's kind of actively teaching anything. The children are learning. Everybody's happy. And it seemed to me to be about relationships and family and connection, which I was very interested in because my own schooling was, I had come from Australia at the age of six and did very well academically in school, but struggled a bit socially, was pretty horrifically bullied for my first year in primary school in Ireland when I was six. And then the same in secondary school. Got over that and still thrived academically and stuff. But I thought, you know what? If children don't need to be taught in order to learn, and that I understand is quite a mind-blowing concept for a lot of people. But what I discovered through the process of just being with my children every day was that they are interested all the time. They're curious all the time. And if we just follow their interests, so I would follow interest-led kind of ideas about my kids' learning. I wouldn't think that they have to learn by age X or read by, learning to read has been a very, it's been a very organic process, I guess, in our home. And children have read at six and children have read at 10 and are all readers now. which particularly with teenage boys, people will tell you, educators will tell you, it's really hard to get boys interested in books and sticking with books that are not assigned reading, that they don't have to do and that kind of thing. So I like the way it sort of developed very naturally.
Organically. Yeah. But you're not a qualified teacher yourself,
Absolutely
Monica.
Not. I was in UCD. I was studying agricultural science, about as far away from teaching as you could get. I did, when my son was a year old, do a diploma course by correspondence because I wasn't going to leave him to go and get a qualification. So I did that in Montessori education just because I was interested in her concepts about children's learning. But I never put a child into a Montessori school or adopted the Montessori method because I didn't have the money, frankly, for all the equipment. And it was more to me about your philosophy and the idea that children are naturally learners. And if we don't put things in their way, they will keep learning.
And how about socially? I know that'd be a big issue. I know it in my own peers now, a lot of people are throwing the idea out of maybe home education is an option for them. They're confused or they're disillusioned with an awful lot that's going on in the school system. They feel under threat with the new RSE program, this extreme new RSE sex education program. And they're fearful for their children. And they're feeling that the only option they have is to withdraw their children and home educate. But their biggest worry is socialising. Will their children be able to socialise with children? Will they miss out? Will they miss out if they're home educated? They're not in the school system and in the schoolyard and sitting in a classroom with other children their own age.
Yeah, it is a question that is always asked. And home educators who've been around three decades, which I now have been, are slightly sick of answering it, but let's go. So Maura Mullarney wrote...
Sorry, Monica.
It's absolutely fine. It's the question everybody asks. And if everybody always does the same thing, and the assumptions, the unexamined assumptions we have about education and children's learning are, to me, some of the most interesting ideas in the whole home education field. But specifically on socialisation, Maura Mullarney wrote, as far as I can tell, the only book in Ireland by a home educating family, and her book is called Anything School Can Do, You Can Do Better. And Maura had a large family, 10 or 11 kids, I think, and she sent them all to school eventually, but for their early years. So I think 8 or 9 was the eldest, was the latest that she sent anyone to school. But and I kind of would argue with her title that you wouldn't want to be doing what school does anyway. But she did use a lot of Montessori principles. And for her, that meant an 18-month-old putting a paintbrush in their hand, not being precious about your walls. She was in an old cottage and she just stuck huge sheets of paper on the wall and let 18-month-olds go with paintbrushes. So that's what home education looked at like for her toddlers. It was just letting people experience mud, paint, sand, water, the things that 18-month-olds love. Because I remember when my eldest was 4 and I was just starting to read a bit more of John Holt, who has a book called Learning All the Time. He's a book called Teach Your Own. And he's a very interesting book I've only seen recently called Never Too Late. And he talks about he didn't pick up the cello, playing the cello until he was 40. And he left it down then. He played it for a couple of years. And then in his 50s, he got really interested and he spent a couple of hours a day. And he said, you know, it's a myth that if we don't start the violin or the piano by age X, and pick your teacher, pick your philosophy of education or of musical education, and they'll tell you if you haven't started doing X instrument by Y age, you haven't a hope. And he said, that's not true. And he was very dedicated and he played with a group of friends who they called themselves the RTO in Boston, the really terrible orchestra. And they loved playing music. And he said, if you find your passion, You go with that. And I think that's what I've been lucky with our kids, that really for most of them it's music. It was Lego for a long time. Like 5 boys, it was Lego for a long time. And I'm not saying the girl doesn't play Lego too. And, you know, people still like to find a little bit of Lego in their stocking at Christmas, even if they're over 18, you know.
And I suppose your children are very blessed. There was a gang of them. There was 6 children. So they had each other for company and to play with and to learn from and to fight with. And
absolutely. And they always had friends as well, because I was very lucky to find families who had kids slightly older than mine. And that was very reassuring for me to find out, what does a home educated teen look like? If they've never been in school, what are they like? And I found out, actually, you know what? They're the kind of kids I want babysitting for me. And we were lucky, we bought our first house near a family of 10 home educated kids so that we could hang out with them. But sorry, socialization, I went off on a Maura Malarney tangent. So Maura says that unless you are going to join a religious order or the army, the only time you ever have to think of yourself as part of a group of 30 is in school. So maybe the socialization we set up in school, like I was in school classes of 8 in my primary school and 24 in my secondary school and 120 in first year in one of my secondary schools. You never have to think of yourself in as in being part of that. And I don't know about you when you socialize, but I don't socialize in groups of 30, you know, not since I've done my Leaving Cert and could get away from it, you know. So I think all we need is one friend. Really, when people talk to me about, you know, a child who is maybe a bit withdrawn or introverted or likes their own company, as some of mine do and did, it doesn't mean they're not social. It doesn't mean that they don't have friends, but they actually get a lot of energy and time and they get a lot of find a lot of their passion and things that they can do on their own, whether that's music or reading or things like that. We don't all need to be in gangs of people, I would suggest. And while a big group of people with a similar ethos, you can get a lot of energy and inspiration from that, I don't at all see it as being necessary.
But have your children now, have they developed relationships? Have they close friends that they will have carried from childhood into adulthood? I know you're...
They absolutely have, yes.
They have.
Yeah,
so they haven't missed out at all.
Well, they have certainly not had the experience of school, and I have no way of going back in time and doing a sliding doors and seeing what would their social lives or their academic progress have been like without home education, without the connection and the hours that we just spent all in the house together. Do you know, it doesn't mean that we were all in each other's faces. We were in small houses at the start, I guess, and then in 2000 we were able to build quite a large house, so people had the opportunity, you know, to practice their music in different rooms without wrecking someone else's head. And we had the opportunity, we were lucky in 2000 to be able to buy a bit of land beside my in-laws, and we're beside the river, and we were able to get a dog and have pets and have, a different lifestyle. So I have home educated in the city of Dublin, the city of Limerick, on Inishmore in the Aran Islands, in the village of Summerhill in Meath, and rurally in County Carlow. So it's possible anywhere. And it's possible. I think the main thing is when people say to me, oh, socialization, or I can't teach or whatever, and we go through all that, how I don't teach, my kids learn, I leave things available and I try to answer questions and I try to find out the information when I don't know the answers. But really, the actual question, can you home educate, is do you like being with your children?
I love being with my children.
So if you like being with your children, you can home educate them. It's really about the relationship and it's about connection.
So could anybody home educate their children?
I absolutely believe that anybody who wants to. Like, I was very blessed. I'm the eldest of six. And my mother always said that she dreaded September because it wasn't like she was one of those parents who said, oh, I can't wait to get rid of the kids. Can't wait for them to get from under my feet. My mum said to me, I loved having you at home and I loved the summer holidays and I was sorry to see you going to school. And to grow up with a relationship with your parents where they think it's actually cool to be around you, and like child-free time isn't this, you know, we had it when we were in our teens and our 20s, you know, and we'll have it again when our kids are gone. Like, childhood is so short. It really
is so short.
It's the kids grow up so fast, you know, and
they spend an awful lot of time of their day and of their childhood, I suppose, within a school building.
This is so true. And I mean, I know it's not one of our topics for today, but for 10 years, myself and my late husband, Eddie, we did foster 22 kids over 10 years. And I have to say, some of them were in primary school because their parents wanted them to be. They were in voluntary care or the social workers insisted. And our lives were infinitely more difficult trying to supervise homework than doing a page of English or maths that we would have done with some of our older kids as part of their home education, you know.
So how did you go about home education? How did your day start? Was there a structure to your day? I know you say you didn't teach your children learned. Mm. But for somebody like me coming from, you know, a perspective that that's all done within the classroom. How did your children learn? What did they do that put this, how did they get that information into their head if nobody told them?
What I have discovered is that children want to learn, and they want to learn if we don't put obstacles in their way. If we don't put obstacles in their way, it's easy. Learning is easy. Learning is fun. And children are curious. They're curious about everything. And as somebody counted that, I think the average four-year-old child asks 427 questions in 24 hours.
Yeah, I have a four-year-old. I'd say it's more than that.
So that doesn't mean the parent has to know the answers. Because fortunately, we can look things up now. Back when I started home education, we didn't have the internet. And we went to libraries and encyclopedias and other people in the community and older people and people with specific interests. So the information's out there. Now, like, it's a click of a phone, and you can ask a search engine and find out what year such and such happened. And, you know, education, we're still educating children as if everything isn't available, as if all the information isn't available. So we've got information overload, but critical thinking is seriously, I would suggest, lacking. And a lot of the education literally happens from just having conversations. So it could be it could be children listening to mom and dad having a conversation about something, be it something they agree on, or maybe there's more learning when people disagree. Or it could be, in our house, it could be one of the young people saying, I found this podcast, I found this singer, I found this musician, I found this composer, and I really think you'd like to check it out. So it's a lot of sharing of information. And I have learned infinitely more from my six children than I would have, and I'm doing air quotes here, taught them. So at the beginning, I did think we had to do a bit of maths and English, because I was terrified that a child would want to go into secondary school and be unable to fit in because of English and maths, because of not hitting particular marks in that. And that wasn't the case at all. Do you know, I relaxed about it. We dated the work, so you can see that we might have done 2 or 3 pages a week for maybe 3 weeks out of a month. You can tell that. And then particularly my fourth son is a boy who I have always described as like a boulder in the Slaney. And you will kind of go around him, maybe go over him if there's a bit of a flood, but you won't shift him. If he's decided something, nothing is going to. And anyway, he was doing fifth class maths challenge at one stage, and he said, I am not finishing that book, Mum. It is an insult to my intelligence. And he's now in second year in university, and his lack of having done the maths that his peers would have done hasn't held him back at all.
At all.
So at all. And when the first guy went to university, the first guy to go to university would have been my third son, and he went without a leaving cert, we'll say, the first one to go into university without a leaving cert. And he got his first essay back, and he said, I really wasn't happy with my mark and my essay, Mum. And I said, okay. And we had a look at what might help him, and found a book called The Elements of Style. I think it cost me €8 at the time. And he just kept it in the bathroom, and it was there for perusing. And yeah, he subsequently did a good honours degree. So yeah.
And when they did eventually then make their way to university, to third level education, did it upset them, or how did they work that? It must have been a bit of an upset to their systems. They were so used to be having this lovely laid back, organic approach to education. And all of a sudden they had to get up in the morning, make their lunch, get dressed. They had to sit in a auditorium or wherever it was and listen to lectures. Oops, there goes Quiva's head. All right, lovey. Sorry.
She's great.
Yeah, okay. So did they settle into that routine, or did that upset them? Or?
I tell you, they chose at 16, like, so I have three in particular who chose at 16 to go to the local College of Further Education and Training and do a FETAC 5. They got themselves up every morning. They made their own lunch. They got themselves, like, I didn't have to call anybody. I didn't have to nag anybody. I did drive them to the bus 2 miles away from us, and then they got the bus 10 miles into town. And they adjusted fine. I mean, when they went to university, I don't know if they always made 9 o'clock lectures, but I know, like, the first guy got through and got his honours degree, and the second guy's in second year now and is doing fine. So the whole point is about self-motivation. We seem to labour under this belief that the human person we're gifted with as our babies, like, that we've got to drill all this stuff into them, and we've got to, life somehow has to be hard. We won't be able to deal with knocks unless there's hardship encountered. And I would have a very different idea about parenting and think that, you know what, the world is a tough place and there's a lot of hard people out there. And the way to learn how to deal with that is not to have hardship imposed on you arbitrarily by your parents, but to just be nurtured and have enough love in your life so that you're a kind person who's going to make the world a kinder place. Because I always kind of think, like, how do we, if you knew there was going to be a famine, if you knew that in December the shops in Ireland were going to have no bread, we were going to have a blizzard that was going to last for 3 weeks, would you get ready for the famine by fasting now? And I would suggest that if we knew there was going to be a famine, we would stock up. You know, we'd eat ourselves probably a bit silly to get ready for a famine. And I kind of feel emotional health is a bit like that, that the more connection we have with our siblings and with our children and with our parents, the better we'll be able to deal with difficulties in life.
And that's interesting, because now another thing that will be thrown to you, I'm sure you're fed up hearing as well, that your children are so protected that once you send them out into the big bad world, they rebel and they go wild.
Here's the actual truth. School isn't the real world. School is not a preparation for the real world. School is a completely artificial environment that a child does not need, I would argue. And my experience of my own and of the other home educating families that I have met is that kids can grow and develop at their own pace without kind of roadblocks being put in their way. And I would gently suggest that making a four-year-old be part of a group of 24 four-year-olds is not a good way to help the next generation develop.
Yeah, we know what we can see. I suppose we can see what's happening in the next generation as well. And a big stress. People are very financially scared as well. They fear. I can't afford to home educate my children.
So home education.
Is there any grants available? Because I know
there's no financial help. No,
which is crazy, because you actually saved the taxpayer and the state
a fortune.
I don't know about the figures. I don't know. Do you know the figures of how much it costs to educate a child in the school system today, between primary school, secondary school, and the parents themselves? I know myself, from my own experience, it costs the parent a fair
amount. Yeah. I think the figures for what Irish taxpayers paid for primary school kids in 2017 was €6,464 per child. That was in state education.
Is that per child for 8 years?
Per child. That was per child per year.
Per year?
Per year. 6,000 is what Irish taxpayers are paying. And then for a secondary school child, it varies between 8,100 and 8,300 per child in secondary school per year. And then in third level, we're paying 8,500 per young person in third level. And then to the parent, the figures would say that it's about €6,500 over the 8 years of primary school for, you know, books, uniforms, transportation costs, all that kind of stuff. And then in secondary, for the five to six years of secondary, depending on transition year, parents, it's costing parents about €10,000 to put a child through school, €10,400. So they're the 2017 figures.
And that's the parent, that the last figures you mentioned there were just what the cost to the parent. But the previous figures you gave us were the cost to the taxpayer.
Yes.
We'd want to have some very intelligent children coming out at the other end of that, wouldn't we, after investing so much?
The thing that saddens me is to see the children who come out from 13 years of state education functionally illiterate, terrified to go into the motor tax office and just, you know, get the tax sorted on their car or apply for their first provisional license, you know, can't do forms, you know, can't follow written instructions. Do you know that there is still a huge issue with functional illiteracy, partly because the kids who need the help in school aren't getting it? You know, I think taxpayers need to ask themselves, are they getting a good return for their money?
Yeah, I think that's a whole other podcast, Monica. Maybe
sorry.
We get you back in for that.
That's
one again.
A can of worms. Apologies.
Yeah, oh, Anya would love to tear you
have a go
for
with that
one. Oh yeah, she'd get her teeth stunk into that now. So what would you say, Monica, to somebody who like, let's say my own age and with a young family, my eldest is 14, my youngest is Quiva here, nursing on my lap, that might be afraid to go just that little step further, but also are afraid to leave their children in school because they can see what the school system is doing to them, yeah, and their peers, and the lack of parenting and the lack of interest that the school has in your actual child. I think that's an awful lot of problems. They don't have the same interest in your child as the parent has.
And they couldn't have.
And they couldn't.
In fairness,
no, they couldn't. No,
it's
an awful lot of the time, the poor old teachers who are trying their best are taking over the role of parenting.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't like anyone for a second to think I was running down teachers. You know, my late husband was a secondary school teacher. I have some insight into the commitment and what it takes to actually care about the welfare and the educational achievements of other people's kids. But I would say to the person who is struggling with the idea of home education that, you know what, no decision is forever. And if you are looking today at an unhappy child who's just not fitting in, whether they're being bullied or they're not being listened to, whether they're on what would be called the brighter end of the scale so that they're not getting challenged by the work in school, whether they have a diagnosis, whether they're on the spectrum or have dyslexia, dyspraxia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, whether they have issues with their handwriting or their mathematics and they're not able to get the time because teachers do not have the time to give one-to-one time to a child. I think they've worked out that in a class of 24, with one teacher in primary level, a child is lucky to get 15 minutes of individual attention. And any parent, you know, who's addicted to soap operas and wants to watch telly all day, any parent would be able to give 15 minutes of focused time on one child. Even if you've got 10 kids, you can do that over the dinner table. You know, talk to one at breakfast time and one, you know. I'm just seen that scene from one of the Dr. Seuss Horton Hears a Who, where he's got 99 kids and the rotated breakfast table and each get about 20 seconds of daddy's time. But you know what I'm saying? It seems daunting because we assume children don't learn without teaching. We assume children can't get on without a leaving cert. We assume that children won't be happy and fulfilled if they can't get, you know, a lucrative job. And I would just say, you know, it's one day at a time, like a lot of parenting. I think if we thought about all the pitfalls, we wouldn't have the courage to ever bring a new human being into the world. So, do you know, if you can be your parent, your child's parent, you can be their educator. You can accompany them on the journey of learning.
You're enough for your child.
I think so.
Thanks very much, Monica.
Aoife, pleasure.
Loads of food for thought. Slán.